Okay, I'll read the minutes from last year's meeting. I wrote these up right after the meeting and had the board tentatively approve them, and so they will be read today for your approval or additions or subtractions or suggestions. The meeting was held on September 18th, 2004. The meeting was called to order by President Philip Hall at 10 a.m. An opening prayer was offered by Larry Walters. Phil Hall then introduced Attorney Bruce Jenkins to present and explain the proposed ranch legal document revisions. Mr. Jenkins reviewed the evolution of Utah state law concerning nonprofit associations like DSROA and the future changes anticipated by the legislature. He discussed DSROA's documents and how they had become outdated and did not, in many ways, reflect the state statutes now legislated into law in Utah. He then described his efforts to organize the protective covenants and bylaws. Mr. Jenkins explained the draft included in the meeting booklet prepared by Phil Hall. He said this was given to all members present at the meeting. In the draft, he showed the differences and changes made to bring our legal documents into conformity with Utah legal code. He also spoke about many practices that were sort of traditions at the ranch but not found explicitly in our current documents. These were identified and drafted into our documents as best he understood them. After this introduction, he opened the discussion up to members to ask questions or state concerns that they had. The following were some of the questions asked in Mr. Jenkins' replies. Tom Massengale was concerned with the concept of the Architectural Review Committee. He used the example of putting up a flagpole and asked if he would have to get permission to do so. Mr. Jenkins pointed out that the document allowed for members of the DSROA board to appoint the members of the Architectural Review Committee and that they would propose direction to the board. The board could then decide upon these suggestions and make them known to the membership. King County building ordinances would prevail with customization to our area left up to the members through the board and the Architectural Review Committee. He showed how the document did not introduce any specifics but gave a framework to start from and some organizational ability to the peers of the members, those appointed to the Architectural Review Committee. Other questions and comments along the same line were answered and heard, and the concept seemed to be understood by the majority of those present. A generally questioned part of the draft was concerning the hunting provisions. Most did not object to posting hunting signs on one's property, but the idea of fencing one's individual lot met with little enthusiasm. There were many who objected to the discharge of firearms in the vicinity of their cabin or property. Mr. Jenkins explained how the Utah state statutes pertain to firearms applied. Larry Clarkson, who has in the past been the one who has dealt with the most outfitters and hunters at the ranch, gave an overview of how things had been handled in the past and pointed out that we usually made $4,000 to $6,000 from selling our permits. He made a suggestion that outside of hunting on one's own property, any hunters be required to hire a representative of the ranch to be with them during any hunts to advise the hunters about any proximity to cabins or members' posted land and see that they complied. No exact mechanism of how this would transpire was presented, but the general concept seemed to be received favorably by those in attendance. Dale Clarkson asked if the draft documents could be categorized as being mostly just optional changes, or if they were in fact mostly mandated changes to comply with Utah state law. Mr. Jenkins stated that the great majority of changes made were mandated by the state law, and the majority of other proposed additions were simply putting into wording the way many things were currently being done by the various DSROA boards and members. One example was the use of rules and regulations mentioned in the bylaws. They are mentioned, but no mechanism of how they are formed or the way members have input was addressed. In the draft document, these things were addressed, and in fact, the changes proposed gave members more input and a voice in their formation and ratification. Currently, each new board makes up or revises the rules and regulations each year as they see fit to govern the ranch, with generally no great member input and certainly no ability of members to vote on the same. Mr. Jenkins went on to say that there were very few new or original proposed changes, and those proposed were mostly procedural changes needed to give direction. Val Cram asked about clarifications that were made in the draft about membership in the association, and was there any grandfathering status with respect to membership or lack thereof? Lee Beller also wanted to know about those lots that had been referenced in the past as not having a membership attached to them. Mr. Jenkins' reply was that although the bylaws stated that there are only 300 memberships in the association, that they were in conflict with the protective covenants, which takes priority over the bylaws. He explained how Article 2 of Protective Covenants was very specific that membership in DSROA was tied to property ownership described in Schedule A of the original flat filing. He explained how there was not a provision for any type of grandfathering in as a status for non-membership for an owner's lot. Because all members with lots or property described in Schedule A were from inception of the ranch, filing members in the association. Might be a spelling thing. He also explained that he had read over documents that showed actions of past boards and of board presidents claiming to show no ownership for those lots in question. Those actions were not valid and in conflict with the plat of protective covenants filed with King County. Even though some of these past documents were publicly acknowledged or notarized, they were not legally binding upon the association, and that the legal filing of King County would have to have been amended prior to any of these past actions to be binding. Those in whatever capacity who offered such non-membership documents did so in error and acted beyond their authority to do so. There were comments of approval and thanks to the board for the changes to chance to voice opinion and ask questions. The meeting was adjourned for lunch. The meeting readjourned at 1 p.m. Larry Bear read the minutes for 2003 annual meeting, and they were voted on and approved. Larry Walters gave a financial review report on the finances. His report is attached. Niall Willis gave a financial report. See attached document. Barbara Button also went over the ranch income and expenses report and gave her report as ranch manager. The candidates for board members were brought forward and identified. Voting and ballots were collected. The results of the voting were as follows. Ed Polinski, 39. Kathy Church, 4. Dale Parks, 108. Val Cram, 104. Shauna Cox, 97. Philip Hall, 139. Mary Murphy, 70. Art Ortolani, 93. Dan Ortolani, 10. Kathy Pierce, 22. Larry Walter, 60. Niall Willis, 50. Those elected to the board were Dale Clarkson, Shauna Cox, Phil Hall, and Val Cram for two-year terms. Art Ortolani was elected for a one-year term. While the votes were being counted, the past board members for 2003-2004 gave an accounting of their efforts. Phil Hall spoke of his efforts to organize the ranch affairs through the use of more members in various committee assignments and as area representatives, thus pooling ideas and efforts to come up with immediate results and long-term goals, five-year plan. Phil Hall also spoke of the great efforts Barbara and Taylor Button had made in behalf of the ranch. Niall Willis spoke of his efforts to be conservative with the monies of the ranch. He also spoke of the efforts of the board to collect the outstanding debts of the ranch. Larry Clarkson said he had to prioritize his personal time and wasn't able to devote any real time to his board assignments with the exception of attending meetings and overseeing the deer hunting tags. Larry Bear spoke of the plant identification information in the store. Art Ortolani spoke of the bear on the ranch and his appreciation to other board members. Lee Beller spoke of the ranch store and working with Brent Fulmer on the road projects and his appreciation to other board members. After the board members' report, some committee reports were given for the airport, cabin, roads, and store. Information about the various committees was put in the booklet, the program booklet. The meeting was then adjourned until next year. Deer Springs Ranch is a great place to be, and lot of interest in it. And so I was able to attend all of the board meetings except for one this year due to a family thing. And leadership types on the board, you have differences of opinion, and certainly we've had differences of opinion this year, and so I'm not saying up here and be a crybaby or be negative, but it was a struggle for me personally, and I think we held the ranch together as a board and did what we could to move forward. There are some basic questions that we have pretty strong disagreements on, and some of those things we're voting on today. But I feel hopefully that I brought my opinions and experience to the board meetings, that I was there to help and to bring, oftentimes I would try to make resolutions to try and bring us to a head, so we could vote on something and get on with it and move on to the next thing. So, as Dale mentioned in his opening, we do have our differences, and I don't want to dwell on those and to be negative in any way. And so I won't take that time to. If you want to find out my heartfelt feelings, feel free to talk to me. I think, though, that we still we do have a great place, that more members than ever are using the ranch, and we have a ways to go and some obstacles still to come. I try to hold, I guess, one to some of the organizational things that I tried to push in the year I was president before and the year I was on the board, trying to move ahead with cabins and roads and the water, and I think the water was our main focus this year, something the state was mandating our attention to. And so we had no option but to spend a lot of money on the water system to meet the state qualifications. And I'm sure Barbara will give more of a report on that in her community report. So I have a little bit more to say probably when it comes down to the legal committee and the reports. And that's probably been my strongest effort. As you know, as you heard from the minutes, last year, part of trying to get things organized and committees and people working, I spearheaded getting good advice to try and come up and update our bylaws and protected covenants. And so I've been pushing all year long for that to continue to take place so that we had something for you to examine. And so I will talk more about that. I want you to know it says Dale's version and my version, but it's really, we had two legal committees, and we got down the road 90% of the way and then just couldn't meet some, bridge some differences, and so that's why there are two. But it's not just mine, it's my opinion and all of the input we had and from the rest of the legal committee members. And I might say that the two documents are very similar, you probably noticed that. But there are some real critical things in there, and I'll talk about that later. So I guess for me this year was trying to just hold, not lose too much ground on moving ahead and to push forward on giving you something to decide upon with these legal documents. So thank you for the opportunity to serve, and I have one more year to do so, and I'll do my best.
Now have a financial report from our treasurer, Shada Cox.